Welcome to the National Presbyterian Church podcast. I'm Pastor Ray Hilton, and I'd like to personally say how thrilled we are to share our sermon with you this week. If you feel encouraged by our messages, we invite you to hit the subscribe button so you will never miss an episode. Now, let's go to the National Presbyterian Church sanctuary and hear the word of the Lord.
The scripture reading today is from Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52, found on page 823 of your pew Bible. Hear the word of the Lord. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately, he regained his sight and followed him on the way. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Before I dive into our story and our sermon for today, I just want to say, yes, I was super sick last week. Some of you said, "You don't sound like yourself." And I have to say, this week, I have never been this sick since before COVID. It was terrible. But I want to thank all of you who prayed for me. I want to thank all of you who checked in to make sure I was okay. And I want to thank all of you who did kind deeds that were helpful to me. I appreciate being cared for by your congregation. So thank you. It does work. We do love and care and support one another. And I just want to say thank you. Keep praying. I'm not 100%, but I'm so much better. And I'm just so thankful for you all. So the story of Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, that Rick read for us, thank you so much, Rick, it's unique for several reasons. Bartimaeus is only one of three individuals Jesus heals in the Gospels that are actually named. The others are Lazarus, when Jesus brought Lazarus back from the dead, and when Peter sliced that guy's ear in the Garden of Gethsemane, his name was Malchus, and Bartimaeus. So this distinction that they are actually named gives these individuals dignity, doesn't it? But this story also showcases the boldness and persistence of Bartimaeus' faith and the lasting influence of his encounter with Jesus. And finally, it's also the very last healing that Jesus does before he walks into Jerusalem on that bright, shiny Palm Sunday day. So it's a very good story for us to focus on this fifth day of Lent. Would you pray with me? Now, O Lord, take my lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for yourself, Lord Jesus. Amen. Jesus and the disciples have now arrived in Jericho. And as Pastor Hilton said a couple of Sundays ago, Jericho was about 14 miles from the holy city, Jerusalem. But if you remember, it's a long slog up because it's 3,300 feet below the holy city. So while this walk is manageable, it's also a challenging one. And as the disciples and Jesus leave Jericho, they have a large crowd in tow with them. And they encounter a blind beggar along the side of the road. Now, life for those who had leprosy or mental or physical challenges was really difficult in those days. They were unable to support themselves, and they had to rely on the charity of others around them. And so they stationed themselves at high traffic areas to try to get more money to be able to survive. So they were along the side of the road, a busy road, like the road to Jerusalem from Jericho. They were also in the temple, and they were along the city gates. They hoped that by having that spot along a high traffic area, that they would garner more financial assistance just to be able to survive. So as I said, it was a hard life. And because Bartimaeus was blind, he had been consigned to this life he probably didn't want. Bartimaeus hears the commotion of the crowd, and he realized that they have gathered to hear Jesus teach. And so he cries out, trying to get Jesus' attention. He says, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, I'm sure that that phrase was used to cause an impression, because Son of David was a messianic phrase. And by using it, Bartimaeus is declaring that Jesus is the heir to King David's throne. Jesus is the Messiah that the Jews have been waiting for, the one who's going to come and overthrow Rome and reestablish the kingdom of Israel. Bartimaeus, by saying Son of David, declares that Jesus is that fulfillment of prophecy, and he is the one true king. But I don't think Bartimaeus used that phrase just to get Jesus' attention. I think he really meant it. He knew that Jesus had the power and the authority to heal him, and he wasn't going to miss out on that opportunity to ask Jesus for his sight. Bartimaeus cries out for mercy from Jesus, but immediately you see that there are folks in the crowd telling him to shush, be quiet, stop talking. They didn't think that this inconsequential man should be bothering Jesus and that Jesus shouldn't be wasting his time on him. But instead of slinking away in silence, Bartimaeus, in desperation, cries out with even more gusto, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And at that, Jesus responds. Jesus asks the crowd to call him over, which they do. And the words they use now ooze compassion and mercy, which was quite a change from that first encounter with Bartimaeus. "Take heart," they tell him. "Get up. He's calling you." And with that, Bartimaeus throws off his most valuable possession, his cloak, and he jumps up. And he moves to stand in front of Jesus. And now this encounter with Jesus becomes intimate and real. The crowd seems to recede a bit, doesn't it? And it's just Jesus and Bartimaeus. And Jesus says to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And Bartimaeus replies, "Rabboni, teacher, let me see again." And Jesus says, "Go. Your faith has made you well." And immediately, Bartimaeus can see. And he joins Jesus on that journey to Jerusalem. Bartimaeus is a changed man. He's been made a new creation in Christ. This story is significant in its own merit, for it highlights the qualities of a disciple. Bartimaeus had faith in Jesus, and he knew Jesus was the Messiah. Bartimaeus is persistent, and he doesn't allow the crowd to dictate his encounter with Jesus. In fact, their meddling only gives Bartimaeus more determination to reach out to Jesus. Bartimaeus asks for mercy. He doesn't ask for money. He doesn't ask for glory. He just wanted to be healed. And he knew that Jesus had the authority to do so. When Bartimaeus names his deepest desire, which was to see, Jesus granted it instantaneously. And Bartimaeus' response was to join Jesus in his mission to walk towards Jerusalem. In that moment, Bartimaeus becomes a disciple and follows Jesus all the way where he's going. This story is even more powerful, though, when we take a step back and we see where it is situated in the book of Mark. Because that placement elevates the story in several meaningful ways. So let's take a look. The 11 verses before the healing of Bartimaeus captures this encounter between James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and Jesus. If you're interested, go ahead and look in your pew Bible, or for those of you at home, look at chapter 10 of Mark, starting at verse 35. And I'm going to read some of those verses for you. Mark writes, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to Jesus, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And Jesus said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Appoint us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or my left is not mine to appoint, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10, that's the other disciples, heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. The rest of the verses in that section go on where Jesus reiterates the purpose of his life on earth, and then the story of Bartimaeus begins. So the disciples with Jesus have been walking towards Jericho, and Jesus has just pulled them aside to tell them for the third time that the road ahead is about sacrifice, obedience, betrayal, and death. And once again, the disciples don't hear that message. And they don't understand what it was that Jesus was getting at. So much so that James and John sidle up to Jesus and ask him with audacity, "Tell you, Jesus, do whatever it is that we ask of you." Can you imagine? So Jesus says, "What is it you want me to do for you?" That question is very similar to the one he asks Bartimaeus, isn't it? The brothers respond and make the request of Jesus to sit on his right and left hand in glory. And Jesus tells them that they have no idea what they just asked for. And then Jesus clarifies with them that they mean to drink the cup that Jesus will drink, and they mean to be baptized with the baptism that Jesus will be baptized. And they say, yes, 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 we are able to do all of those things. But that only proves that they have no idea what Jesus has been talking about for the last 3 years. Because Jesus' destiny is to be persecuted, to suffer, and to die. So James and John, two of Jesus' disciples, his intimates, who've traveled with them, with Jesus, over these last 3 years, who witnessed miracles and healings and other miraculous signs, who heard Jesus preach and teach and unpack the scriptures, who heard Jesus say that he was going to die, and that was the purpose of all of this. They have been completely blinded to who Jesus is. They watched Jesus go off and be re-energized by time spent with God. They saw him pray, and they still didn't understand he was the Son of God. When they have the opportunity to ask Jesus for anything, they ask for glory, power, prestige. And when the other disciples found out what the brothers had done, they get super angry. And I imagine that's because they hadn't thought to make a similar request of Jesus yet themselves. When you compare and contrast the questions between Jesus and the brothers and Jesus and Bartimaeus, while similar, the encounter produces wildly different responses. We see that James and John, while intimates of Jesus, are spiritually blind to Jesus' magnificence. And Bartimaeus, the outcast beggar on the side of the road, the outsider, he's the one that has spiritual clarity. And we also see that the answers that each of these folks give to Jesus' question are also at odds. James and John ask for things that the world values: recognition, acclaim, significance. While Bartimaeus asks for his deepest need, which is sight. Jesus does not give the brothers what they want because it isn't up to Jesus to grant that request. But he does give Bartimaeus what he seeks. And don't you imagine that once Bartimaeus is able to see Jesus' face, he can see even more clearly the radiance of God reflected there. What do you want me to do for you? How would you reply if Jesus asked that of you? If you hadn't had some thinking time, you might be like James and John and ask for something that the world values. But hopefully, and that's what the sermon is about, I want us all to be more like Bartimaeus, and to ask Jesus to heal our deepest wound and to give us our greatest longing. Do you know what that might be? Sometimes it's difficult to do the soul searching that's necessary and able to respond like Bartimaeus. While he had to be alert to every passerby in order to not miss an opportunity for alms, one can imagine that he did have time to think deeply and ponder his life. And most likely, Bartimaeus knew that having his sight would change everything. he would no longer be dependent on strangers. He would be able to do meaningful work and contribute to society rather than relying on handouts. Bartimaeus would be able to integrate back into the community. He might finally have a home and friends. He might be able to go to church. Having his sight would change things for the better. When Bartimaeus asked Jesus what he wanted, he was ready. He knew to bring his deepest need to Christ. When I was coming to terms with my crumbling marriage, I realized my deepest need was direction. I didn't know how to fix things. I didn't know what to do. And up till that point, I'd been trying to do things in my own power, and that had not gone very well. If you remember my very first sermon at National, I talked about cardinals. Do you remember that? God gave me an experience with those distinctive red birds over a period of about 6 months that helped me see that God would direct my path if I allowed that. And so I did. I sought out Scripture to guide my thinking. I embraced prayer with others to discern God's leading. I journaled to clarify my thoughts. I leaned into worship, and I found more than I expected. While I asked for direction, I found an electric relationship with Jesus. Jesus met me where I was and drew me to himself. Jesus provided healing and hope. Jesus gave me courage and strength. And I learned to live my life in a way I hadn't done before because I sought Jesus with everything I had. First, it was in desperation, but that changed into a comfortable relationship. And it was at that moment that I truly became a disciple of Christ. The story of Bartimaeus is positioned as the last healing that Jesus provides before his final journey to Jerusalem and the beginning of Holy Week. This miracle, this story of discipleship, proclaims the wonder of Jesus' power and the beauty of his encounter with one lost beggar who left everything behind to follow Jesus. This story offers hope to all who find themselves trapped on the side of the road with a deep need that has gone unmet. I have good news for those of you who might be sitting on the side of the road. There is opportunity to change things. There is an opportunity to find hope and healing. And that is in the person of Jesus Christ. What do you want me to do for you is an invitation. It's an invitation to find wholeness and restoration. What do you want me to do for you is an invitation to discipleship with Jesus. And the miracle of this question is that Jesus extends this invitation to you personally, to you specifically. What do you want me to do for you? What will you say when Jesus asks that of you? Be brave. dig down deep and admit that deepest wound, that longing desire. For Jesus wants to respond to you. Jesus longs to offer you healing. Jesus longs to draw you to himself. Jesus longs for you to join him on this journey. The road ahead will be hard, but the road ahead will also be beautiful, for you will be there right beside the one who loves you so much, the one who cares for you, and the one who will always be there for you. For the person right beside you is the Savior of the world and the Savior of your life, Jesus. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Merciful God, we thank you that you love us so much, that you extend yourself to us. When you say, "What do you want me to do for you?" Lord, help us to be brave. Help us to bring our deepest need to you so we may find hope and healing in your response. We ask this through your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
We're glad that you could be with us today. If you would like more information about our church, visit our website at nationalprez.org. That's nationalprez.org. Help us spread the good news of the gospel by sharing our podcast with your friends and giving us a rating. If you haven't already, be sure to click the subscribe button. See you next week.